And a good afternoon to you. Thank you for being with us on a Friday. It finally got here, didn't it? Yeah. We've got the pop-up thunderstorms. The Blue Ridge are creating their own weather today. And so it's hard to predict where they are because the way they're forming. But there's one getting ready to hit Brevard. As a matter of fact, it's probably already hit Brevard. It's going to be just to the west of us here at the studio. There's another one. If it crosses, it's forming over in Clyde. And if it comes across the mountain, it's going to come right through here as well. The weather today is moving south, and so it's forming up under the Blue Ridge, and then it's dropping off into the upstate, into that warmer air, and creating storm boxes. Yeah, a storm box is when the computer sees that there are sufficient things to create a thunderstorm and possibly a thunderstorm watch or warning. And so all of that's taking place. So I said, how did the Blue Ridge create? How do they create weather? Well, let me see if I can explain it this way. Rocks in a creek don't create rapids unless they have water over them. But when you run water over a creek bed, then those rocks create rapids in the creek. Well, the same principle. When you push moist air over the Appalachians, they create the turbulence, and that creates the condensation. The cold ground sticking up creates that condensation, and so all the necessary things are there to cause those clouds to weep, and we see it a lot. We see the storms form up under the Devil's Courthouse. It's a common place for them to form. Right up in that section. Also, they'll form up just this side of there. There's a section between 215 and 276. That section right through there. There's an old growth tree section in that section. Right in there is one of the premier places for storms to develop. Kind of behind Looking Glass, right back in that section. And I'm not even sure what that's called. As a boy, I knew it like the back of my hand. But I don't even know what that's, we called it Pilot Mountain back in there. But anyway, bottom line, the storms are forming in there, and they run the river typically. They'll come out, and this is something you see about every day, you know, in July, and so we're seeing it today. Today's typical of the way it used to be years ago in weather. Well, traffic is typical of not the way it used to be, but the way it is now. We've got problems. Yeah, it's Friday afternoon. Everybody's wanting to go to Tennessee, and they come through here wanting to get there. And it's a mess. Let's start I-26 westbound. Your slowdown comes where they're at the new rest area on I-26 before you get to the airport, and it's going to be slow through that section up past 146. Matter of fact, you're going to be slow all the way to the French Broad River. You're going to moderate a little bit, but if you're going west, you're going to get right back in it at Malfunction Junction. When you get west on 40, it's slow. And then you're going to pick it up again. It's going to get slow and even slower on in the big curve at the beyond the Candler exit, going toward Canton, Newfound Curve, all that through there. Almost. Well, it's slow even past the West Canton exit on 40 today. So that's quite a span. It's quite a span. Once you get, well, I said that. That's not true. Right at the state line, at the tunnels, it slows down, and you've got a pretty slow spot in there on the Tennessee side just before you get out of the curves, right in that section there. Yeah, it's, you know where the log cabin rest area is at? It's back this side of there. It's where that slowdown's at right through there. I'm not sure what's causing it, okay? I don't know what's causing this either. We got problems on 74. It's a wreck. Okay, I found it. And it's there right below Lake Junaluska, where 23 comes under 74, right in that section, where 19 comes in, 23 comes under 74. They only connect there in one place. They only split in one place, and it's right there. And the traffic is backed up all the way back past Ingalls, past, see if I can tell you where it's passed. It's back all the way back up to Lansing Road that comes under the interstate right there. It comes under the Smoky Mountain Parkway Expressway. Yeah, backed all the way up to there. So because of this wreck, and that slow continues all the way up to 40 till you get back up on 40. Okay, that's also put some pressure on 276, where it goes in to right in that section in and around. Well, I guess that's Maggie Valley is where that would be at, and so where 276 intersects with I-40, that's showing some backup here this afternoon. Let me pull back here just a little bit and tell you we've also got some slowdown going into Canton on the old road. People are trying to get around the interstate. That's causing, you know, the backup. Same thing, 112. They're trying to take Sardis Road to get around the slow, and that's causing up some backup there. Going the other way, trying to go to Henderson, trying to go continue on 240, up 240, trying to get into Asheville is a problem. It is backed up beyond Amboy this afternoon, and that's all the way up onto the bridge. It is slow, slow, slow. The same thing is true coming the other direction. Everything centers on that bridge. It is backed up from the bridge all the way through town, past the Civic Center, past Bowcatcher Cut, all the way down beyond the big mall. Yeah, it's that far down. That's how far back the traffic is this afternoon if you're trying to go west on 240. Yeah, for some pretty big delays. And then trying to come down from UNC Asheville, it's backed up this afternoon, coming down on 26 all the way back to the UNCA exit. And so slow trying to get on the bridge. Once you get past the bridge, once you get on the bridge, it's pretty good. And so your travel out of Asheville is pretty good until you hit the slowdown on I-26 eastbound. It starts at the river, and it's going to continue for the most part. Count on it about around Lake Julian, about halfway past 146, between 146 and 280. Right in there is where it's going to get back up to speed this afternoon. 25A, they seem to be fine. And Mills River looks okay. And we do have heavy traffic northbound out on 191. And it's backed up from beyond Clayton Road, all the way, slow traffic, all the way to the Arboretum. Yeah, sure is. I'm wondering if they don't need to do something to that stoplight right there, because it sure does back up this time of day. And then there's some traffic coming south there, but not as bad as the northbound is today. That's what we've got in the mountains. At least that's what I can see. And there's, I'm just zooming in on a couple of things of interest here that I thought might be something, but maybe not. I'm checking the whole part of, I'm checking the whole part of, so if you're going to Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, Sevierville, they're all in pretty good shape this afternoon. Yeah, they're in pretty good shape. It's better than you would expect. You know, not too bad for a Friday afternoon yet. It's coming. Everybody ain't got there. They're all sitting on I-26. They're all sitting on I-26 westbound. That's why they're not there, for sure. Okay. All right. There's a slowdown on 25 right at the state line. I'm not sure what that's about. I think it's road construction. Okay, road construction. They must have one lane closed right through there. Looking at Spartanburg, you've got a slowdown coming down to where the split's at. They're beyond, from Gaffney down to just before Macedonia, just before Cowpens, the Yellow Mall right in there. That's all running slow, and then you get into that split highway situation, and that's going to be there a while. Remind you that 585 is closed in Spartanburg, so if you're passing through, make sure you stay on 85. If we're going southbound on 85 in Greenville, the traffic starts about 101. Highway 101 continues heavy down past 14 all the way down to Pelham. It will be today backed up from 385 north up to Pelham. Not quite a big wait. And everybody else seems to be in pretty good shape today. There's something up around Furman. I don't know what that is, on 25. And it's got a little bit of a congestion there. But other than that, I can't see a whole lot that don't seem like there's any wrecks today, and that's kind of odd for a Friday afternoon, but hey, we'll take it. All right, we talked about that weather that's forming up and storm boxes being issued, but the computer's having a hard time deciding which way it's going because it's just coming out of nowhere, but I can tell it which way it'll go. Ultimately, it's going to go south, and just a little slight drift to the east of south, but it's going to go south. That looks like the direction. Yeah, I know some folks going to the ball game tonight. I don't see anything in Asheville. I think it's all dropping. It's all to the west of Asheville. Buncombe County is in pretty good shape right now. And it's mostly Canton and Transylvania, and then the southern part of, mostly Transylvania. And then it's all the way over around Hayesville. It's doing the same thing. We got storms coming up in the North Carolina side, and that's actually dropping off into Georgia this afternoon. So we look at the weather forecast. Look at the temperature differential. It's one of those times when we've got a shower nearby. We're at 75. Asheville reported just a few minutes ago, they reported 84, so that is quite a bit different. It's quite a bit different. This afternoon, 60% chance of showers. That decreases to 30% overnight. 20% in the morning, 40% in the afternoon tomorrow, 40% early, and then 20% late tomorrow night. 50% on Sunday, 20% on Sunday night with a 50% chance on Monday, increasing to 60%, 40% on Monday night, 60% on Tuesday. So better than 50-50 chance of showers, looks like, through the forecast period until we get probably through Tuesday night. And by Wednesday, it drops back to about 30%. But we'll be warm, 88 degrees, 87, 88, about all week next week as we close out the month of July. Yeah, it's going to be warm. And, of course, we expect that. 23rd day of July. AM 720 being sponsored by the Maranatha Baptist Church in East Flat Rock in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our soon coming King. And of course, that's what Maranatha means. And so that's what the word means, is the coming of the Lord. And so even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We appreciate Maranatha Baptist Church in East Flat Rock. Thank you so very much. The network sponsor today is Charlie and Ann Burnett, and it is in honor of their 58th wedding anniversary. God bless you. 58 years. Thank you so much for underwriting the day. May God bless you with many, many more. Birthdays today, Mr. Silas Brown turned 5. Miss Louise Gilbert is celebrating in Little River. Congratulations. Also, Miss Patricia Edwards celebrating up around Burnsville. Susan Robinson having a birthday. Brody Sherman is 20 today. And Kenzie Hicks is 18 today. So congratulations. Gerald and Joanne Owen celebrating 66 years of marriage. Wow. Congratulations. Charlie and Cricket Roberts celebrating today as well. And I mentioned Charlie and Ann Burnett. 58 years. God bless you. And we wish you many, many more years together. Well, I mentioned yesterday on the program about the service we were at. Well, last night it was just about the same thing. Boy, God got in it. It was a memorial service, but I'm telling you the truth. It was amazing. And I saw God use men above and beyond their ability. And it wasn't like a funeral. It was more like a worship service. And so bless the Lord for that. Who's with us this afternoon? All the way up in the capital of Alaska, Juneau. Did you know that in Juneau, there are no roads that leave out of Juneau? Did you know that? Yeah. There's no, I don't know if they can get you for Grand Theft Auto because there's nowhere to go. They just steal your car and ride around. You can't get there from here. It's been a controversy through the years why they would have a capital of a state that you could not drive to. You had to fly or take a boat to get there. But that's the case. Juneau, Alaska. Los Angeles, California with us this afternoon. Claremont, Florida. Blue Ridge, Georgia. Chicago, Illinois. Joplin, Missouri. Carson City, Nevada. Nassau, New York. Brevard, Murphy, Silva. Hendersonville, Mills River, Mabane, North Carolina, Dayton, Ohio, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Marysville, Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Fort Mill, Greer, South Carolina, Houston, Texas. Glad to have all of you on board. Europe is on, but we can't discern where. Don't know who it is today, but we do have Europe with us, and we're glad to have all these folks listening on the app. And then when we go to visual radio each day, this portion of the broadcast is broadcast over Facebook, and a lot of folks watch us there. If you'd like to tell us that you're out there, you just simply respond. If you're watching over Facebook, respond to us. And, we're Somebody said after a traffic report like that, it's understandable that the big truckers drive mostly at night. Let me tell you this: how the truckers get discouraged. They get paid by the mile, mostly, not by the hour, especially the independents. They get paid by the mile. So if they sit in traffic for 30 minutes, they've lost. See what I'm saying? And so, you know, if you're going down the road, that would average you 30 miles in 30 minutes, 60 miles an hour. So they have lost the money. So you're taking money right out of their pocket. And it's, I always say that when you have, especially if you have one lane closed and everybody runs up to the front and everybody tries to get in and it stops, it makes it just crawl. If everybody would just get over when they see the signs, everybody just merge and get over, you could go through a traffic zone at 45 if everybody would get in the correct lane. But they won't do it because they think that what they're doing is a top priority. So they run up in front of everybody else and then jump in, and it causes the problems. Truckers despise that. I'm telling you, you want to turn off the CB when that starts because they get aggravated, and they let you know about it. I'm telling you. All right. Well, let's see who is all with us this afternoon. We've got the Philippines. Glad to see all of you. All right. Good to see the Philippines with us today. And again, appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And appreciate God's blessing. Jennifer in Mills River, good to see you. Let's talk about motorcycles for a minute. Yeah, motorcycles on Christian Radio. What's up with that? Well, it started out that we had a request for 3 motorbikes in the country of India. Our ministry there has 42 preachers. Most of them walk everywhere they go. And so the request was for 3 motorbikes to help these preachers get around. And so we started in church on Sunday night. This past Sunday night, we started in church, and the next thing you know, we've bought several motorbikes. People are giving pledges, and we've bought several. We come on the air and had somebody buy an entire bike. And so instead of getting 3 motorbikes for India, we were able to do 7 motorbikes at $1,200 a piece. Then the Philippines said, you know, we sure could use a couple of motorbikes here. And so by the grace of God, we have been able to put 2 in the Philippines. So that's 9. Yesterday, we had Pastor Wesley Jerome on from Haiti. He also has 2 young preachers that's in need of motorbikes to get from church to church. And so we were able to buy 1 of his yesterday, $1,200. And we have $600 toward the second one. And so we lack $600, having enough money to buy the second motorcycle. And, of course, I bought 1 back in the spring. So this will be their 3rd one total in Haiti. And we're buying these little motorbikes. They're about $1,200. But they do very well. They get about 50 miles to the gallon. And you ought to see what they do with them. It's amazing. And they take good care of them. I bought one in 2007. It's still in operation. They use it all the time. They still ride it. They still use it in the Philippines. So let's see what number bike this is. So we had 7 in India. We put 2 in the Philippines. So that's 9. And then we put 1 in Haiti. And so that's going to make it 10. And so we're working on motorcycle number 11. Is that right? Okay. Number 11 is what we're working on. We got $600. We lack $600 on it. Having enough to finish out the country of Haiti. And while I'm reading that, I want to just read you an email. And so I know you don't like to be, I know you don't like to be read to, but it's just easier to read it than it is to try to explain it. This is from our ministry in Pakistan. And I won't go through all of the different things that are said, But it says, Dear and respected my brother, Pastor Randy C. Barton, greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. This is coming from Pakistan. I am so glad to know that you are sending some motorbikes for the preachers in different countries. This is really a very great encouragement for the preachers to work more efficiently for the Lord. I am sorry if it is possible there are 5 preachers working with me, Some of them have bikes, but those are so old, many times when they come to me and got late and told that bike made problem on the way. That's why they became late. And also, we are thinking for the rickshaw, which is a tricycle. Two, if we get it, it can help us a lot to bring small kids to school. And also on Sunday, bring people in a church who are living nearby colonies. It is not so expensive, but it is great help to our church. Price of motorbike is near about, including registration, $1,235. And price of a 9-seater rickshaw, a motor rickshaw, they take a motorcycle and they make a rickshaw out of it. A motor rickshaw, the price of a 9-seater rickshaw is near about, including registration, $2,350. We shall be very thankful to you if you help us for the rickshaw for church and school and motorbikes for preachers. And then he goes on to say this. He says, I'm so sorry, brother, to let you know that the sermon and song ministry that was started by Brother Bennett Collins. Bennett Collins was Oliver B. Green's song leader. When Brother Bennett died, his son took it. And when now he has died, and they're not going to continue the ministry. And so here's the issue. The Sermon Songs put a lot of money in Pakistan, but they are supporting, through Anchor, they're supporting the Pakistan ministry at about $500 a month. So when that closes, that is going to be a huge, huge lick. I mean, $500 a month. Pakistan's money is worth less than India. It's way up there. It's almost double. $140, $150 to one. And so their money is just really devalued. Used to be similar, about $75 each. But India has held their price, but Pakistan's really dropped. And so it says, pray that God opens a door, that someone takes step for sermon and song ministry to continue, or you know, and I know he's talking about, or helps in some way to do that. So anyway, I just want to ask you to pray that the Lord would do a great work there. Okay? I've just got this from the producer. The Pakistani rupee is only worth 6.62 of one penny. Is that right? Do the math on that. Tell me how many it takes to get a dollar. Okay, so what's the math on that? I'm not sure. And I just got a note. Miss Leona is given the $600 for the motorcycle. Well, to God be the glory, we have been able to do that for the country of Haiti. And so 7 motorcycles in India, 2 motorcycles in the Philippines, and now 2 motorcycles in Haiti. And so to God be the glory. And I believe, and I know we give a lot, and I know that God's people have give till it hurts, and I know that. But I'm going to be honest with you, it would cost as much as 2 motorcycles, but that 9-seat motor rickshaw, they build the back end on it, they make it out of a motorcycle, and they put a tarp like over the top of it. They're, you know, you see them everywhere over there. And they use these little small motorcycles, but what they do is they gear them real low, so they don't go fast, but that's what they call them. It depends on where you are, a motor rickshaw or a rickshaw, but not like you'd think somebody running around pulling people, you know, but it's got the motorcycle and the harness, and it's got a place for people to sit behind it, bench seating type thing. It's got like 3 bench seats behind the driver. We could get one of those for $2,350. So do we dare? Do we dare? Yeah. Doing the backwards conversion, if you were if a Pakistani wants to get an American dollar, it's going to cost him 162 Pakistani rupees, 0.35. So 162 and a third rupees equals $1. So that's more than double the devaluation of India. India's about, they stay pretty strong, about 75. Philippines, 48. Haiti, what did he say this week? 94.5, I believe it was, 94.5. And then if you want to talk about, Venezuela. Venezuela's 3.8 million to one. In other words, if they wanted to buy an American dollar, it would take 3.8 million of the Bolivar Soberano in exchange for one American dollar. I'm serious. So, and the problem is the prices over there cost about what they do in American. That's the crazy part. I mean, I don't even see how they survive. I really don't. I don't see how they do anything. But they're doing it. And they're doing a good job of it to go with it. They're not just doing it. They're doing it well. And here's the thing. And they're doing it with joy. You know, I mean, they just do. They do it with joy. And so I say hallelujah and bless the Lord. So are we done at 11 motorcycles? Or do you want number 12 to be a motor rickshaw? Would take $2,350. If we had 24 people, give $100. We got it. You know what I'm saying? So you decide. It's up to you. I didn't really get on the radio. I didn't start this Monday even thinking about it. I started talking about it, and people started giving. And so, yeah, amen. All right. And let me back up here. I'm going to get do some text keeping here, look at things. So I got a birthday wish backwards for the 18th, Tim Haney of Alexander, North Carolina. And so congratulations, belated to Tim Haney. 4412 says, God bless Israel, Pastor Barton, and Anchor Broadcasting. God bless you. Thank you. And I'll tell you what let's do. We got a little time left. Questions. Any subject, doesn't matter. So we'll do a little Q&A right quick. 577-1296. You can also call us. 828-884-9427. We're getting ready here at the ministry to take a quantum leap. It's not, probably not for everybody else, but it's a big leap for us. We're going to be leaving copper telephone lines. We're going to keep a couple as backups, but we're going to be leaving those, and we're going to be moving into voice over IP. Well, it's time, and we just need to. And I'm tired of buying these really expensive, thousands of dollars, not just hundreds, but thousands and thousands of dollar phone systems that are antiquated 7-8 years, and you're done with it. And when you figure what you pay for those things, and then you figure what you if you expense it out on that short of a lifespan, I mean, my goodness, you're paying huge payments on that thing. You know, you're not getting much out of it at all. And then you can't get parts for it, and the companies buy each other, and they drop the product line, and the name don't even exist anymore. We're running into all that. So we're looking at voice over IP, but the neat part about that is it doesn't matter where you are. If you have internet, your phone will work, no matter where you go. And it can be on a computer. It can be on a physical phone, a VoIP phone, or it can be on your cell phone. And it can follow you wherever you go. And so that's, instead of dialing desks and departments, we're going to be dialing people. And licensing will be to people. So it's going to be a little different. But it's going to be direct dial-in and a lot of other things about that. It's going to be good. It's just going to be hard, to make the transition. It really is. All right. Let me tell you, happy birthday today to Wanda Aiken. Congratulations. And God bless you with many, many more. Someone mentioned, said, keep Brother Kenny Baldwin in your prayers. Said, I listened to him on Facebook at the Arise Youth Conference with C.T. Townsend. He's still recovering from COVID. Oh, I know. It's been a year. And Brother Kenny, he's only about 20 minutes is all he can preach. Now, this guy, could hold his breath and sing a sustained note longer than anybody I've ever met. And now he is it has changed dramatically. At least he's still preaching. I've got a preacher in Bolivia that he's not uttered a word since COVID. It has paralyzed his throat, and he's in a mess. There's a number of folks now that are getting COVID again. There's a resurgence. The numbers have gone up dramatically. I don't know if America will go back into lockdown. I'm not sure that they will. I'm not sure that they're going to. I don't think people are going to do it. So I said, well, I have no choice. Well, I will see. But I really feel like, and of course, there's no way to gauge this. There's no way to know this. But I feel like if America had taken the quick shutdown in order to get enough PPE and enough things, you know, ahead of the virus to keep people from dying in the streets, but if we had opened back up when the president tried to get us to, I think that we'd have a different place right now. I think it would be quite a bit different. There's a new push, I don't know if you saw it today, that several of the North Carolina healthcare systems are requiring people to get the vaccine in order to keep their job. Yeah, they're requiring it. I checked very quickly, just a brief check. Mission is not going to require it, although they strongly encourage it. Pardee is not going to require it as a condition for you to have a job, but they strongly encourage it. There's a lot of peer pressure, you know, to get the vaccine. But I've said all along, I believe in individual liberty, and I believe it's up to you. And you know, I don't believe it's up to, you know, I believe it's up to you. And there are people who have a variety of reasons. There are some religious convictions. There are a number of other reasons. One of the ones that I'm hearing the most now is concerning vaccinating children, and people are concerned about what it would do to their future parenting. And there's a big discussion about that. And so I'm not sure of all of the ramifications as to why that could be a problem, but apparently there are people who think that it is or think that it could be. I will tell you this, if you have an expecting mother, if you know someone who's expecting and they have either had COVID before they conceived or have had COVID during the pregnancy, the healthcare provider, the gynecologist, OBGYN, definitely needs to know about that. There is a situation now, it's called having COVID babies, and I'm not talking about having a bunch of kids. I'm not talking about that, being born at the same time. I'm talking about a severe life-threatening deterioration of the placenta in the last trimester. Yeah, dangerous. Very dangerous. And so, extremely dangerous. Well, by the grace of God, I got the first 500 toward that rickshaw. Thank you, Scott. What about that? And so, yeah, 500. It's 2350, so that's going to be a hard one to do with the math, isn't it? 2350. And I don't even have my phone. My phone went dead. I have been out. I've been in all kind of sort this afternoon. I got stuck. Phone went dead. It's just been one of those days, you know. So do the math on that for me, Daniel, and pop it up on my screen, please. So we need 2350, and we've got 500. Give me the back of that. So well, anybody can do that in their head, yeah, but I can mess it up. You've never seen anybody mess up math on the radio as bad as I can. Well, part of the reason is because I'm dyslexic. And so numbers get transposed with me. Other day, I thought we had that back. We lacked $56, and I could have sworn we had it. But when I got off the air and we tallied everything up, the next morning it's $56 lacking. Somebody gave it anonymously. But yeah, I missed it. And I said, 56? That's an off number. How did you come up with 56? But if we had missed it by 100, that I see. But I can't figure out how I missed it by 56. I still don't know how I missed it by 56. But it did. So anyway, okay. So Daniel, are you popping that up for me? I don't believe he's listening to me. All right, or else that, or he's on the phone. Maybe he's on the phone. Okay. apologize. Okay, so anyway, if I'm thinking right, that's 1850 is what we lack on the rickshaw for Pakistan. Isn't that neat? I'm telling you, the Lord's good. Lord's good. Let me tell you about another need, and I heard about this. I heard about it from a firefighter, and he was telling me about it. It was over the 4th of July weekend. But it wasn't on the 4th. I think it was on the 3rd, maybe the night of the 2nd. And their parents had, there was a group of people in this community. They'd gone, I guess, to the neighbors for a 4th of July celebration. Came out of the house and saw that their house was on fire. The dad panicked, younger than I am, had a massive heart attack and died watching his house burn in front of his family. The first fireman on scene to fight the house fire couldn't fight fire for doing CPR, trying to revive this man. It was actually in the Valley Hill District, but Etowah and Little River assisted. And they basically lost everything that they had, and of course, including the dad, the husband. They lost vehicles. So they lost their house. They lost all their clothes. They lost their vehicles. And so far, insurance has been slow. They've got some temporary housing and a few clothes, but they've got a big monetary need. And so mom's got health problems, daughter's in college. And so there's some real needs there. And so where their house is actually at, it would be considered Etowah, kind of back in toward Beulah Church back in there. That's the community where it happened at. And the name of the family, I don't mind sharing it with you, is Karinja. And so it depends on what language we're speaking as to how that's pronounced, whether it's Karinja or I'm not sure how you would pronounce it. But anyway, that's the family name. And it is a huge, huge tragic story. I mean, I had multiple firemen telling me about it, how tragic it was that a man walks out of a neighbor's house, looks up, sees everything he has on fire, and falls dead with a coronary right on the spot. That happened. It sure did. It happened. Teresa, yes, the rickshaw is motorized. So they take a motorcycle, and then they build this frame on the thing and make it like a tricycle. So when we talk about tricycles in the Philippines, it's kind of like a tricycle. The Philippines, they make sidecars on them. And there's 10,000 of those things in the Philippines. And you can ride those things cheap. Everybody rides the tricycle. It's the motorbike, and it's got a sidecar. And everybody rides them. You can put three or four people in them. But listen, Americans, Mataba Americans, you can't haul a lot of fat Americans in it. But you can haul, you know, a lot of Filipinos. In India, they do it a little differently. They actually cut the back end of the bike off. And I don't know exactly how they do it. They put some type of rear end in the motor, you know, back onto the back of the thing. So it's got two tires in the back and it's got one in the front. And the driver drives it like a motorcycle, but they put a canopy over them so that you can, not in the rain, not in the sun. And typically they'll have three seats, like little bench seats, like out of a bus or something. They'll put three of those and they can haul up to 9 people. And so they want it for a church bus in Pakistan. So, yes, that's what we're doing, a motor rickshaw. And so I've got $500 for it. We lack, thanks to Scott, and we lack $1,850. Okay? Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. Somebody asking, how can we help this family? Well, I tell you what. Let's do it this way. I have someone that I can put you in touch with if you'd like to help this family that the dad died and the home burnt and everything. These folks are in need of a vehicle. They're in need of all kinds of stuff. But I have an email address, and if you will contact us, if you'll text us, if you'd like to help them, I will give you an email address through which you can contact the person who's sharing the details with me. How about that? Not going to give it out over the air, but if you'll call about it or text about it, we will give you that email address for that. One of the camps is this young lady. She's the college student. She's works does some work at one of the camps. She's a seasonal employee at a camp here locally, and it was her dad who died, and then the house that burned. Yeah, sad situation. We've been through several house fires. I especially was working as chaplain at the fire department. We had a family in our church, this house burnt. I will say this. I saw them get the best treatment I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything like it. I couldn't believe it. Still can't believe it. I'm serious. They brought them. They didn't mail it to them. They brought them a credit card. I guess it was a debit card I don't know. And they kept putting money on the card. The insurance company did, just for incidentals. I was stunned. I mean, they'd pay kennel bills, car rental, put them in a hotel, whatever, meals, everything. Who was it? Well, it's an odd one. Who is Snoopy? What insurance company's got Snoopy as their mascot?
MetLife.
That's who. So MetLife has home insurance, and I didn't know that. Fire and casualty insurance. MetLife. Never seen anything like it. I hadn't, and I've dealt with a lot of insurance, and dealt with a lot of families, a lot of things. I've never seen anything like that. Never did. That insurance agent told that family, said there was stuff that had smoke on it, stuff that was charred. He said, "Look, buy new. Don't do that. Give that to somebody. Go buy new. We're going to replace every shovel, every rake." And this is what he said. He said, "Y'all are never going to deplete the content amount anyway. Why worry about stuff that's charred or got smoke on? Just get new stuff." And that was his instruction. That was the insurance agent's instruction. Buy everything new. But if you have something that's sentimental or something that's antique and it's of high value to you, we'll take it to a place in Greenville. They have an ozone chamber. We'll put it in the ozone chamber. They will ozone it, and it's guaranteed to take the smoke smell out. Guaranteed. Or they'll do it again. I couldn't believe it. I actually couldn't believe it. He said, "Yep. No matter what it is, they can take the smoke smell out of it." I knew ozone was powerful stuff, but that's really where I got introduced to ozone. Yeah, you can ozone a car. It's my smoked in it, or you got it's mildewed or whatever. It'll matter of fact, ozone's deadly, and it's deadly to mold and plants and everything else. So it's not safe, but it's effective. It'll kill anything that's alive. It will kill anything eventually, and so it kills mold and stink and everything else. It's amazing. Topic for another day. I see we're about out of time here. I'm trying to track this rainstorm. It really didn't do as much as I thought it was going to. It's still dark out, but it kind of played out pretty much over the town of Brevard and between Brevard and Rosman right now around Cherryfields, where the rain is still going on, but it's about over. Now, there's more behind it, but I don't know if it's going to, don't look like it's gaining any speed. And with the cooling temperatures now, 74 degrees, and if it can't get off the mountain and get down to the warm air, then it's probably done for. That's the survival of a storm, is to continue to get that fuel. And the temperature up here has dropped. It's amazing how much it's dropped. We're a full 10 degrees difference in temperature between here and Cullowhee, and it's all due to the rain. Yeah, and even, well, for that matter, even the airport. Yeah, we're 10 degrees different from the airport because the Sylvan Valley has had the rain, and the others have not. So, okay. Well, pray for our group as they start home. We've got a group in Honduras. They've been in medical missions all week. Last week was Bolivia. This week is Honduras. And so pray for them as they come in. Our support team has been cooking and translating and doing all the work for the medical team that went to Honduras and to work with the indigenous Mosquito tribe. And so thank you for praying for that. 3024 is asking, are you still needing shoes and clothes? Well, we have more than we can put on the trailer for this load, okay? If you can hang on to them, what happened was the two loads to St. Vincent got backed up on us. They're still here. We don't have room for nothing. And I would have said swing a cat, but the Humane Society get me. We don't have room for nothing anymore until the shipment gets out of here, August the 2nd. And so the same thing with we got the trailer packed. I don't know what day they're leaving, but they are leaving next week, going to the Navajo. And so if you can hang on to those, we appreciate it. Yeah, we got an absolute bumper crop of shoes, good shoes, and clothes. It's been a blessing. Thank you for doing that. And it's not out of the question. We sent some used clothes. We didn't do it. Somebody sent some used clothes on the first voyage to the volcano down on St. Vincent. Why, you'd have thought you was giving out chocolate candy. Man, there's a snatching them clothes up like it was one thing. Used clothing is a scourge in the disaster ministry, usually for us. You know, you get everything, and it's just a mess. People give you bikinis to go to the Arctic Circle, and they give you parkas to go to the equator, and it's just a mess. But I will say this, buddy, you talk about excited. Those Vicentians, I think is they're called, they got excited about those clothes, American clothes. They got excited about that. So it's not out of the question, but right now we just are a little bit on the overwhelm side of things. And speaking of that, let me mention this. We are officially in the thrift store business. Said I'd never do it. I reckon everything I've ever said I'd never do, I end up doing it. I said I'd never pastor in Transylvania County. That was 37 years ago. I said I'd never, oh yeah, never, never, never say never, because you'll never live down saying never if you say never. So I said we'll never open a thrift store, but there's such a grocery shortage that we've not been able to sustain the mission store through the salvaged groceries. Now, we're still giving out free stuff, but as far as, you know, we sell stuff in the mission store that pays the bills so we can give away all. We run a Freightliner every day of the week. 364 days a year, we go to Hendersonville. Weather notwithstanding, we go in any weather. We go everywhere. We take four-wheel drives if necessary. We go every day to Hendersonville, and we pick up from the grocery stores and from discount stores. I won't tell you who and all we pick up from, and we get all of their produce. We get all of their fruits. We get all of their breads. We get all of their pastries, all that stuff. Well, who pays for that? Well, somebody's got to pay. What we sell in the mission store pays the bills, so we can afford to give all that stuff away. Problem is we've still got product, but we've not got a good selection of product like we've had in the past. And the main thing we're missing is meat and potatoes. I mean, just the plain basic meat and potatoes, we just can't get it. Right now, they're wanting more for that product. If I try to buy it at auction, they're wanting more for that product at auction than I can buy in the store. I can go to the store and buy it cheaper than what I can buy it by the truckload. What does that tell you? That tells me somebody knows something. People don't pay that kind of price unless they're expecting to make profit. Somebody knows something, folks. When you get that kind of, when you're paying retail price for it and you're buying it by the truckload, come on. Something ain't right. It's because of the shortages. And somebody said, well, hey, wait a minute. It's going to be all right. Wait till the crop comes in. It's all going to be all right. I talked to a farmer, and you know what he told me? A farmer told me, he said, you're not going to see a big increase because so much of America is lying dormant because it was labor intensive. to stake beans, to stake tomatoes, to stake all of these products. It took labor to do it. We didn't have people in the fields. A lot of American crop did not go in, therefore there will not be much of a harvest. That's what he told me. Let me tell you something else that I heard yesterday. I'm investigating it. A factory in Western North Carolina is looking, apparently they've gotten permission, they're looking to bring in Mexican nationals, apparently skilled labor from a factory maybe that they own in Mexico. They're looking to bring them into our area to keep the factory open because they don't have enough people to work. I said months ago, wait and see. This paying people to stay home and people, there's nobody to work. You can't go in a restaurant and sit down because there's nobody working. All this opens the drive-thrus, all this mess, paid summer off. Number one, it's the biggest vote-buying thing that ever happened. Number two, when America goes hungry, we will be begging them to tear the wall down. We will be begging them to open the border to let people in to put the crop in the ground. Wait and see. It's all part of the big plan. It's junk's what it is. Obama's chief of staff made the statement. He said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And that's what's happened with COVID. The socialists have seen the opportunity, and the social leftists, they are exploiting a very real crisis, but they're exploiting it. And our great-grandkids are not going to be able to pay for it. You keeping a tally on Pakistan, Daniel? You keeping it? Okay, I've lost count here, but I got another 100. Hallelujah! Thank you for that. And funding for the Navajo, well, yeah, we could use some funding. We could, and we'd appreciate that. Chickens coming back. You might want to fill your freezer. Look, yeah, House of Rayford's coming back to the Ag Center. It's seventh of August. Saturday, August 7th, and you can order online and go over and pick it up 40 pounds at a time. You probably won't buy chicken no cheaper. We started, you know, we were with that program. I didn't say we started it, but we promoted it, and it was to keep the chicken farmers from going out of business. They were going to kill millions of chickens in North Carolina. And so the North Carolina Department of Agriculture said, look, we're going to get out here and we're going to sell it wholesale to the public in these big restaurant packs. So we actually had to repackage it and give it away. We gave away, 8,000 pounds of chicken, something like that? It was a bunch. And but if you want to put some meat away, you can't buy beef right now. You can't even get it. Did you know you can't buy a steak biscuit at Bojangles because of the beef shortage? I love steak biscuits. You cannot get a steak biscuit at Bojangles, a beef shortage. And won't have it anytime soon, they said. So you can't get beef, so if you want chicken, you can go on houseofrayford.com or houseofrayford.store and look it up, and you can order it. No waiting in line. Just drive over, pick it up, put it in your cooler, drive off. Yeah, you don't staff stand lines, all stuff like they did before. Now it's all done online. Yep. Okay. I pray for the team coming back from Honduras. Remember that. Remember our containers. We're supposed to ship, Lord willing, we're supposed to ship Monday week. Supposed to. We'll see. We've missed it twice now. We've had two dates that have been scrubbed. It's been a mess. And the problem is we are getting into hurricane season. I mean, we're sailing into hurricane season. That every time they push us back, we're sailing into the Caribbean in the prime hurricane season. And I ain't excited about it at all. I'm just telling you. That ship's you don't want to ride a hurricane in that ship. I'm just telling you, you don't. So the prime time for the Caribbean is the last week in August and the first week of September, about the first 2 weeks of September. There's more hurricanes have made landfall during that time than any other time, and it's going to, if we keep going, if that shipping company keeps pushing us back, we're going to be sailing right in the middle of that. Now, we did it last year. we threaded the storms and went to Haiti, right smack dab in the middle of hurricane season. But our crew come home and they were green for weeks. When you do 37-degree rolls, 15-degree pitches and 37-degree rolls continuously for days, it's like being in a tin can, you know, on the surface. Terrible. So, yeah, we don't want to do that. So pray we get our load out here, okay? All right. Thank you. Appreciate it so much. Question, did we ever get all of the medical stuff paid for? No, we lack $200-something. Having it paid for. We got a $2,500 gift and a $3,000 gift. Put us at $55, and I think we paid, I'm going to go with like $57.65 is what we paid for that load. And by the way, that load was worth over $100,000 of medical supplies, and that was ordered by the hospital in St. Vincent. They ordered it, custom ordered. And it was worth over $100,000, and we got $5,700 in it. We did. God blessed. I'm telling you, blessed. So we thank the Lord for that. Okay, and let me check here. Okay, we've got a $200 pledge for the Navajo. God bless you. Thank you, Owen family. Appreciate that. And so if, I tell you what we'll do, if I see your ones that sent me their information, thank you for that. We need those for the pledge cards. Well, I think we've got Scott's, no issues there. I'm looking down through here at others. I'll get... I'll come back through. Brianna may text you after we go off if I've got any pledges here that I don't have numbers on, and get that for you. Make sure we get all that for the office for Monday. Otherwise, they'll have our hide. Yeah, they'll get us for not getting it right, and so we have a bad way of getting it wrong. So anyway, we should be getting in touch with you. Okay. Thank you so very much. Thank God for His goodness. Let's pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bless Your name. Lord, you've been good to us, and Lord, we certainly don't deserve our next breath, much less the grace and blessings of God that have been ours in these days. Father, I pray You'd strengthen us, help us, Lord, that You would mature us, help us, Lord, to grow in grace. Lord, help us to be content. Lord, help us, I pray, to have that contentment. You said it was great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And Lord, we're praying that You'd help us. Lord, we thank You for these motorcycles we've been able to buy. Lord, 11 motorbikes for Haiti, Philippines, India, and now, Lord, a motorized rickshaw for Pakistan as a church bus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for providing already on that one. And so, Lord, You know what needs to happen, that, Lord, You know the need there was 5 motorbikes just in Pakistan alone. And so, Lord, you know what needs to be done. And, Lord, I know there are churches that could do that and Sunday school groups that could. So, Lord, You just have Your way. Lord, You started it. All I did was read a need. And, Lord, You started it. And, Lord, you'll end it in Your time. So, Lord, may we mind You more than anything else. May we mind You. And, Lord, trouble our hearts in such a way that we'll know that it's You if we're supposed to do something we're not doing. Help us, Lord, be found faithful. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your mercy to us. May the gospel of our Savior go forth in a more efficient way because folks have been obedient to the voice of God. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Pastor Randy Barton, hope you have a great weekend. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.